Hashtag murder may contain explicit and disturbing material and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello!
And welcome to
Hashtag murder.
Woo! I'm Scar.
And I'm Dustin.
And we're millennials who love murder.
Yeah, we do.
And it is big raining right now.
Yeah, and Ollie is, he big scared.
Oh, he's terrified. He actually squeezed behind the chair without us pulling it out. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because he's a big boy.
And a little dangerous for the duck on the table.
I know, but the duck's life was spared. So that is good. And also, we missed a week because in a very Sagittarius Scar move, I planned a vacation 3 days before we took it, and we went to Florida.
We didn't just go to Florida.
We went to Disney.
We did go to Disney.
What a time. What all did we do, honey?
Well, we listened to a timeshare pitch because that's what we signed up to do. Well, you signed up to do.
For 3 hours.
Yeah, we are not new owners. We said no about a million times.
Yeah, even if we wanted to say yes, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Because she's expensive.
Yeah. Let's see, we went to Downtown Disney, otherwise known as Disney Springs.
We saw the Cirque du Soleil. It was beautiful.
That was fantastic. We went to Epcot.
We went to the Lego store and we made little tiny Legos of ourselves.
We did.
That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
That was good. Wait, what did you just say? We went to where?
Epcot.
We did! Finally got to ride the Frozen ride. It's all I've ever wanted in my almost the past however many years it's been there. I'm like, I'm gonna come back here. I'm gonna ride that goddamn ride. Because it used to be the Troll ride and it scared the fuck out of me as a child. And they kept the same track and they just changed it to Frozen themed. And it was great.
I don't remember the Troll ride.
And we drank around the world, and we ate around the world.
Yes, we did.
And what else did we do? I got my first set of Mickey ears, and they are Pizza Mickey.
Yeah, I did not get ears. I got Remy the Rat.
You got the Ratatouille.
Yeah.
And you wore them on your head all day.
I did.
It got many a compliment from many a stranger.
Yeah.
It was great.
Everyone get somebody to stop you in public. You just wear a rat on your head.
I know. That was so fun. I asked you what trees were.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I had the worst one of the day, though.
To clarify, I meant what kind of tree, not are they trees.
You said, what are those, honey? And I said, well, there's the trees.
But no, they had this little bonsai tree exhibit in Japan, and we're walking around, we're reading the little placards. You know, some of them are old as I am.
And older.
And one of the tree's names, okay, so we were both standing there looking at it, and I heard you kind of whisper under your breath, oh, Hidachi. And we're both looking at the same thing.
Well, we were in Japan.
And I was like, honey, do you mean headache?
I didn't think it could be that simple. So I called it a Hidachi tree.
It was called a headache. And you called it Hidachi.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. But also, in my defense, a little drunk by that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll let it slide. Oh my God. Okay, we have like one more minute. What else did we do?
SeaWorld.
We went to SeaWorld. There was no Shamu, and there were no penguins, which was a little sad. And I know SeaWorld's a little problematic, maybe a lot problematic, but...
The animals are pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I almost cried at the dolphin show a couple times.
Oh, God.
You're welcome for holding it in.
Thank you.
I almost burst into tears.
Yeah, it never looks good when you're out and the girl you're with just starts crying. That's not a situation that... You are capable of coming back from.
I know. Oh, my God. But it was a great time. We did so much and had so much fun. And on the way back, we stopped at my aunt and uncle's house. We stayed with them for a night. And then we stopped in St. Augustine and went to the medieval torture museum.
Yeah, that wasn't creepy at all.
10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
St. Augustine, very cool, very looking downtown and city. Like, we're going back.
Yeah, no, definitely. And on the next installment of Impromptu Vacations, brought to you by Scar.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go to Disney. Do you think you can get off? Like, probably.
And away we went.
Here we go.
Oh my God. Okay, well.
You got a good one for me?
I'm still on my Disney high, but I do have a good one for you.
Okay, all right. Not going to be a sad one, right?
I mean, they're all sad, honey.
They are all, okay, touche.
It's definitely sad, but I think you're going to like it. Well, you're going to tolerate it and sit here with me.
All right, what's the story of woe?
So this is the murder of Jerry Michael Williams.
All right, and Jerry Michael Williams, never heard of this person before.
And in Disney fashion, we're going to Florida.
We just left Florida. Honey.
I know, we're going back. Goddamn Florida right. Does it again.
Uh-oh, yeah, well, that means this murder can be absolutely insane because it's Florida. They actually have a Florida Man Festival. I just heard about it, and guess where it is?
What?
It's in St. Augustine.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Hold on while we give this a goog real quick. I just heard about it on, of all things, a sports podcast.
Oh, okay. One moment.
Florida Man Games. The Florida Man Games. The wildest athletic competition on earth.
Oh, it's like a competition.
Yeah, but they're doing stuff like running from the police.
What?
Yeah, they're doing all kinds of crazy... And it's held in St. Augustine. Apparently, this is an annual thing.
The Florida Man Games.
They're tickets you can buy.
Wait, hold on. Fluff up your mullet, pull on your best pair of jorts, and abandon all rational thought with an all-new event that promises to be the wildest competition sporting event on Earth. Wow. We should probably go check that out, honey.
It was held on the 24th, so we just missed it.
Oh.
We'll have to wait till next year. That's how it just happened, and that's why they were talking about it on the sports podcast. And let's see, the festival features a host of crazy and irreverent games, including evading arrest obstacle course, a catalytic converter, which I'm assuming they're probably trying to steal, two bikes, a handful of copper pipes race against time, excuse me, the beer belly sumo wrestling, to name a few, like mullet contests, cultural demonstrations featuring, of course, alligators.
Oh, we're going to get to the alligators.
Oh boy. What is that?
Dattle peppers?
Don't know what that.
Dattle peppers?
SWAT vehicles and more.
Wow. That sounds like a riveting time.
Okay.
We 45, must not miss.
45 for regular price and 145 for the VIPers.
Wow.
Okay.
Huh. Cool.
February 24th is when they did it. We'll have to find out when they do it again next year, but that sounds...
2025, y'all. We'll see you at the Florida Man Fest. Oh my God. That's crazy. I love it. Okay. Well, in that same vein, we're going to Florida and we are starting on the picturesque fishing and hunting hotspot of Stump Field in Lake Seminole.
Lake Seminole. No idea where that's at.
Okay. It's in Florida.
Okay. Thank you for narrowing it down.
You're welcome. So it's December 16th, 2000, and a 31-year-old Jerry Michael Williams, who goes by Mike, sips down a cup of coffee and heads out before sunrise to get in some good old-fashioned duck hunting. Mike heads to the lake, which is about 60 miles from his home in Tallahassee. Mike loved hunting, especially hunting alone. This was kind of his escape from his very, very busy world.
Okay.
December 16th also happens to be his 6th wedding anniversary.
No better time to get out of the house than your wedding anniversary.
Yeah, so he's starting out the day with some me time, and then he and his wife, Denise, are going to celebrate later that night and stay at a bed and breakfast in nearby Apalachicola.
I think you nailed it, honey. Apalachicola.
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 Unfortunately, Mike never returns from his hunting trip.
Did you say boat?
He did have a boat.
Was he on the boat?
He did take out the boat.
Okay, on a boat.
As noon approaches, everyone in Mike's life starts to worry. Denise calls friends and family. Mike's brother, named Nick, senses something is wrong. His coworkers are concerned. Things aren't adding up as to why Mike would be missing.
Seems like he is Mr. Reliable, so...
Yes.
As soon as he doesn't come home when he says he's going to be there. And he's not answering the phone, although he may not have it with him. Okay, all right. So everybody's worried because Mr. Dependable's not answering.
He might not have a phone.
It's true.
2000.
No, there's phones. Okay, they're just not smart. they're of the Flippy or candy bar style.
The chocolate bar.
The chocolate bar phone. The Nokia, where you can accessorize it with the lights and the blinking yeah. back and all that kind
the
of thing.
The BlackBerry?
The BlackBerry, I think, was just... We were using...
You would remember more than
this
I
This is
would.
Palm Pilot.
I was 8.
This is Palm Pilot kind of time right now. Let's see when the BlackBerry
you
did.
You were 18, so...
Yeah, no, I was graduating high school.
Oh, my God.
Let's see when the BlackBerry actually came out.
Oh, honey.
Just so we... Let's see. 99.
Oh, January 19th, 1999. Goddamn.
Yeah, so. It was Palm Pilots up until then. The BlackBerry changed all the shit. I didn't know anybody that had one of them, man.
And they paying, no longer exist.
We're paying for fucking text messages. And if somebody sent
you 15 cents. And if it was more than like 30 characters, you got charged double.
No. The thing that got you were the pictures. If somebody sent a picture, it was a fucking dollar. Okay? Like, and you would tell that person to never contact you again and that they were dead to you after they did that because you're dead. You're still on your parents' plan.
Galen and Terry are going to murder you.
Yeah. Like, you just got me killed, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Mike is missing. So by 3 p.m., a search party comprised of friends and family head to Lake Seminole to try and find Mike, including his best friend, Brian Winchester.
All right. Brian Winchester.
Yes.
Okay.
He was actually at a family Christmas party whenever he got the call that his best bud was missing. So Brian and Brian's father stayed out on the lake all night using a flashlight, and they just combed the lake, which is not a small area.
I wonder if he knew any of his regular hunting spots and stuff like that.
He did. They actually hunted often together.
So they probably went to those first.
Yep. The Lake Seminole area is not small. It's 37,500 acres. Which is about half the size of the Dutton Ranch, because we are watching Yellowstone.
That's right, we are. And I gotta say...
we just finished an episode.
We tried to watch it before, we couldn't get through the first episode, and now I gotta say they've sunk their hooks in me, you know?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So Denise's father was the one who kind of spearheaded this whole search, which is the wife.
I remember.
He knew where Mike liked to go whenever he was hunting, and whenever they first arrive, they find Mike's 1994 Ford Bronco and the boat trailer, but no boat and no Mike. And a big storm hit that night, so they had to call off the search early.
Shit. Okay.
Best friend Brian and his father make the first big discovery early the next morning. They find Mike's duck hunting boat washed up on the banks about 75 yards from the landing, and Mike is not in it. But all of his gear, his life jackets, his duck decoys, his shotgun, which was still in the case, are, and the tank was almost completely full of gas.
That means he couldn't have been driving around for very damn long then.
Yeah, like it kind of seems as if Mike never even got started, and that maybe he had fallen out of the boat.
Come on. Fallen? Okay.
Don't look at me.
He's probably gone hunting in that boat alone 100 times.
Oh, at least.
I guess he might be wearing waders, and so if he fell in,
he is wearing waders.
I guess the waders could pull you down if they filled with water.
They totally could, honey. I see. You're picking up what you're putting down.
You're seeing the wheels turn a little bit there.
So they find his boat, and the position of the boat was a little odd. Apparently, that big storm the night before had blown in from the west.
Okay.
So where should his boat be?
On the western bank.
Well, no, you think it would be on the eastern bank if it was
coming in from the west. Okay, yeah, sorry.
But the boat was found on the western side.
Maybe it was caught in a vortex of some sort.
Science.
Yeah.
And apparently Lake Seminole is kind of a dangerous place. It had once been a peach orchard that had been flooded by a nearby dam. So it's a man-made lake.
Okay. So and it's got a bunch of shit at the bottom of it that you...
It does. It has all these tree stumps... Hence the name that I said in the beginning that I can't remember.
Apalachicola?
No, stump something. And things that are kind of hard to see if you're in a boat, and it's not fully light outside yet whenever you had left, so they're thinking maybe something happened. So theories start swirling around, and people are thinking that he was on his boat and cruising down the lake and hit a tree stump and was thrown overboard into the water, into the weeds and tree stumps and such.
Okay.
Mike also had on waders. They were about chest high. And these can be dangerous too, because if you fall overboard and water gets into the bottom of the waders, that's going to weigh you down. And you have to think on your feet to really get those suckers off before you sink down to the bottom.
Okay.
And what animal is at the bottom of the lake, honey?
I mean, I suppose there could be gators.
Alligators.
Yeah, but they're not going to fuck with you.
You don't know that.
I'm pretty confident in they're not wanting to fuck with you for most of the time.
Yeah, we're about to get to that right now.
Oh, boy.
So this theory doesn't hold much water because it was December and a little chilly outside. So alligators don't feed or even resurface unless it's like 70 degrees outside.
Yeah, a lot of times you find them with just their nose sticking up out of the ice and stuff if it freezes over.
Yeah, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, but not super likely that Mike was eaten by alligators.
Yeah, he'd have to literally fall on the fucking alligator.
Into its mouth.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's December 26th, 2000, and it's been 10 days since Michael went missing, and Brian, best friend Brian, is out searching the lake again whenever he spots a hat. And he thinks that this hat looks familiar and that it belongs to his best friend, Mike Williams. And he even supplied a photo of Mike wearing this exact hat. So this is just not looking good.
And people lose hats all the time, honey.
Well, yeah. And this hat is the last thing that anyone is going to find for a while that belongs to Mike. Or maybe belongs to Mike.
Okay. Guess it's been in the water, so they can't really do DNA testing on it.
We'll get to it.
Yes, ma'am.
Officers and friends and family spent 735 man hours over the course of 56 days looking for Mike and came up basically completely empty-handed.
It's almost like he's either at the bottom of the lake or he's not.
He's not there.
He's not there.
Yeah. So a few months pass, and on the banks of the lake, a pair of waders is found.
Okay, but, I mean, everybody wears fucking waders.
They do. And these waders are, like, brand new. There's no dirt. There's no grime. There's no slime. These look like they just came out of Bass Pro or Cabela's.
Okay. So they can't be his then, because he's probably been hunting a few times then, right?
Yeah. And even more either concerning or suspicious, there were no signs of any alligator attack or any bite marks or any human remains near or inside of the waders whatsoever.
Okay.
And this is a little jarring. So Nick, Mike's brother, stated that it was super unusual that if Mike was indeed dead, which everyone is kind of thinking at this point, that his body would not have turned up somewhere, somehow. And he says that Mike is the only person who has ever gone missing or overboard or has died at Lake Seminole whose body has never been recovered.
So they still haven't recovered it, is what you're saying?
No.
Like, to this day?
Oh, well, honey,
oh,
well, I'm not going to tell you that yet.
Okay, well, you're talking about, okay, I'm sorry, we're still in the Wayback Machine.
We are, because dead bodies float.
They do for a while, and then they don't.
Yeah, which begs the question, how many people have died at Lake Seminole for them to know that they're going to find the body eventually?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there are, like, boating accidents. And,
it's a lot of people. We'll get to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So all of these fish and wildlife and hunting experts are thinking something a little fishy is going on. So they decide to pass Mike's disappearance off to local authorities because things aren't adding up.
Wait, they just had the wildlife people. They didn't call the fucking police?
They might have, like, known that he was a missing person, but the only people searching were fish and wildlife and friends and family.
You gotta be shitting me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's been a couple months. So, that's where we're at right now. Now, let's get a little background on Mike. Mike was born October 16th, 1969 in Tallahassee, Florida. His family wasn't super wealthy growing up, but he had loving parents and a brother close in age, and they were a very strong unit together. His father was a Greyhound bus driver, and his mother ran a daycare out of their double-wide trailer. Mike always loved being outdoors and had been an avid hunter since the age of 6. Lake Seminole being his favorite hunting grounds. Mike had met his wife Denise at their private North Florida Christian High School. He was the star of the football team, and she was the cheerleader and the homecoming queen. Cue Taylor Swift.
I don't know the reference. Oh, okay.
He plays football, and she's the cheerleader and the homecoming queen. She's on the bleachers.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I just don't know. I know some T-Swift.
Where's Alex when you need her?
Yeah, seriously.
So Mike and Denise, they've both been together ever since. They both attended Florida State University, where Mike studied political science and urban planning, and then got married to Denise on December 16th, 1994. Mike was a commercial real estate appraiser and was very good at his job, and he made a fuck ton of money, upwards of like $200,000 a year.
Nice.
And he was very close with his boss and his boss's wife. No one had anything bad to say about Mike. And he was also a father to his and Denise's little girl named Ansley, who was born on Mother's Day in 1999. Mike and Denise and Ansley all lived in their hometown of Tallahassee. Mike was a great father, and despite working very long hours, he always helped out with dinner and laundry and other household chores and really loved taking care of and being a part of his daughter Ansley's life.
All-American dad?
Yeah. No, Mike seems like a great person. So Brian, Mike and Denise's friend, had a good job as well. He sold insurance, and he was actually the one who had helped Denise and Mike set up their life insurance policies for the two of them. You know, they've got the daughter, they've got the house. It's always a good idea to have some sort of life insurance in case something like this happens. And Brian actually went to the same high school as Mike and Denise, and so did Brian's wife, Kathy. So they were all four really good friends and had been for quite some time. And Brian and Kathy also had a child around the same time as Mike and Denise did. So their lives were pretty idyllic, like BFFs, both couples, both just had babies.
Their kids get to grow up together, kind of like they did.
Yeah. And just a couple days before Mike disappeared, he and Denise announced that they were hoping to have another child soon and that they were planning a cruise to Hawaii later that year and possibly go to Jamaica for work and or play.
Cool.
So they were making plans, and then he just...
So odds are he didn't just...
Disappears.
Run away.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, I'm just saying odds are he didn't just run away.
Back to Lake Seminole.
If we could, let's get back to the lake.
What? Why are you being aggressive? Hidachi. You're giving me a goddamn Hidachi.
That's my word.
Oh, honey. Okay, so back to Lake Seminole. A year passes after Mike's disappearance, and Denise is really struggling with the loss of her husband and best friend. So Denise asks Kathy, which is Brian's wife, if she would go with her to Lake Seminole to finally say goodbye to her husband. She has lost all hope that he will be found alive, and by this point, Mike has actually been declared dead. And the cause of death is accidental drowning, but it does note that his body has never been recovered.
That sucks. Because it seemed like he had a pretty idyllic situation going on, so I felt heartbroken for her and her daughter, so...
I know.
I hope it picks up a little bit, babe. We haven't even got to the bad part, have we? Oh, boy.
Now, introduce Mike Williams' mother, who is the sweetest baby muffin old lady that I think I have ever seen in any true crime documentary.
Oh, so ever. We like her.
We love Mama Mike.
Okay.
And her name is Cheryl.
Okay, Cheryl.
Good old Cheryl. And she's got her hair in pigtails, and she's just so old and sweet, and I can't. And she loves her son so much.
I don't know
so
if I can do the old lady in pigtails.
It's so cute.
I don't think that's appropriate.
It's so sweet. And Mama Cheryl is going to get to the bottom of things. Cheryl's a queen, and she knows that deep down that Mike's body is not in Lake Seminole, and that he didn't drown, and he was not eaten by alligators.
Mother's intuition?
Yep. Cheryl even recounted that authorities told her, quote, "I'm sorry, but your son fell out of his boat and bumped his head and drowned and was eaten by alligators," end quote.
Well, that's a little bit reckless and irresponsible, but okay.
Yeah, and she was not buying it. And she said, well, what are the alternatives? Did he walk away? Did someone hurt him? But Mama Cheryl went as far as to call Florida State University and spoke with the top alligator man.
Of course she did.
She did her own investigating. And he said, the alligator man was like, no, your son could not have been eaten by alligators.
In December.
Yeah, because it would be virtually impossible due to the fact that the water was too cold. And this alligator guy, he said that it was a very convenient theory, but it just wouldn't hold up in Mike's disappearance.
Okay, so let's rule out alligators right now.
Yeah, because it was like 30 degrees outside that day.
He was definitely, the alligators were definitely napping.
Yeah. So Ms. Cheryl pulls out all the stops. She takes basically all of the money she has and puts out an ad in the paper asking for help to try and find her son. And she made money by running that daycare out of her home. She made missing persons posters. She even got the kids that she watched in the daycare to help her make posters.
Oh.
I know. She knew something was up and she was going to do something about it.
She's going to find her baby boy.
I know. And Mama Cheryl, she wrote letters to the governor every day for years. She wrote 2,600 letters over the course of, I can't remember exactly how many years.
We can math this out real quick. How many letters? 2,600?
Yeah.
I think 2,600 divided by 365. That's seven, a little over 7 years. If she wrote a letter a day.
If she wrote a letter a day.
If she wrote a letter every day, like she said. So at least that's a letter every day. If she did it every day. She may have taken a day off here and there, so it'd be it's at least 7 years.
Yeah. And in these letters, she was begging someone to look into the disappearance of her son and to take it seriously. She paid for billboards and she would stand on the side of the road. She created tip lines. Mama Cheryl loved her son so incredibly much. Like, it's
only child?
No, his brother Nick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, then this doesn't make any sense. She's already got a backup.
Honey!
I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
It must not be a middle child.
No, he was the youngest.
Oh, yeah, the baby? Yeah, we're going to look forever for the baby.
I know.
The middle child?
Honey, you got to let it go. You're 42. You have to let it go. You're the middle child by 1 minute.
Yeah, 60 seconds ruined my whole life, honey.
Oh, my God.
I could have been a contender.
Stop it. You are so ridiculous. Oh, man. Okay, so Mama Cheryl, I think this is really touching, but people started to think it maybe wasn't so touching and that Miss Cheryl was a little off her rocker.
Because
like, why can't she just let it go?
Because what? Because they haven't found the fucking body.
Yep.
If they find the body, at least you get the closure of being able to put somebody in a coffin and have the funeral and do all this, you know, the first steps in grieving and stuff like that, but... Yeah, no, as far as she's concerned, her son's not dead. He's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So 4 years after Mike went missing, they now start to look into his disappearance.
She must have written more than a letter a day then.
Probably. Yeah, it's a long time. So the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, FDLE, picks up the case. And one of the lead investigators states that if it wasn't for Cheryl and her persistence, that this just would have been a missing persons case and nothing else would have become of it.
So they don't look for missing persons is what he's saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, missing adult
the
people.
Roundabout way of saying they can do what they want, I guess. And
yeah, okay, good to know.
Even though he's got a wife and a baby and by all accounts, everything was great.
No, we're going to find out here shortly that everything was not so great. Oh, God.
Now, there's one person who does not appreciate what Miss Cheryl is doing to try and find her son. And who do you think that is, honey?
His best friend.
No, it's his wife.
Shut the fuck up.
Denise.
No.
Denise just wanted to move on. She didn't want to think about her deceased husband anymore. She wanted to get on with her life. And it kind of drove her crazy that her mother-in-law was just not letting this go. Denise went so far as to tell Miss Cheryl that if she didn't stop advocating for her son, then she would not be allowed to see her granddaughter, Ansley, anymore. Which is fucked up.
Don't like using the grandchild as a pawn and a weapon. That's not cool.
Yeah, and Denise stuck to this, and Cheryl didn't stop, so she was not allowed to see her granddaughter anymore, which is very sad, because that's like one of the only pieces of her son that she has left.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Denise is really trying to put all of this behind her, and she dated around a little.
I'm sure Mama Cheryl loved that.
Yeah, and was trying to find a new partner in life. And she does end up finding someone new. But it's not actually someone new. It's someone that she knew from her childhood.
And who would this person be?
It is Mike's best friend, Brian Winchester.
Shut the fuck up.
Brian had married that Kathy chick right out of high school. But they got divorced after Mike had gone missing. So now Denise and Brian are together.
Who initiated the divorce after old Mike went missing there?
I believe it was Brian.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but my gut says it was probably Brian.
All right.
Yeah. So 5 years after best friend and husband Mike went missing, Brian and Denise get married. Brian moves in with Denise into the house that she shared with Mike and starts raising Ansley as his own daughter.
Okay. As he should,
Yeah, but like, why? I don't know why this bothered me so much, but why move into their house? It's like, okay, never mind. I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. Okay. So back to Mama Cheryl. She is still not giving up, and she kept meticulous notes of what everyone said and what everyone did, and she looked into absolutely everything to try and figure out what happened to her son. And she stumbles across the life insurance policies that Brian had made or taken out on Mike for Denise. And these life insurance policies, they didn't happen, like, directly before Mike's disappearance. They were issued in, like, 1995, 1997, 1999.
Oh, so there are literally multiple for each of them?
Oh, there's multiple.
Okay.
But I believe there are three.
But they've been taken out for several years at this point. At least 3 years, you're saying.
Yes. And actually, those life insurance payouts were paid 7 months after Mike disappeared, whenever he was declared dead. After the waders were found on the banks of the lake.
Pretty much after everybody lost hope. Then they need a death certificate in order to give to the insurance company. So up until that point,
yeah.
I wonder who was pushing for the, let's just call him dead instead of missing. Let's continue.
So 10 years pass after Mike's disappearance. Brian and Denise have been married for 7 years, and things aren't going super great in their relationship. So in 2012, Brian moves out of the house that he shared with Denise and daughter Ansley, and it was not a super amicable separation.
They didn't have any more kids?
Nope.
All right.
Well,
I mean, yeah. If things are going well, typically you don't separate.
Yeah, well.
You know, like.
Yeah. So he went missing in 2000. Brian and Denise go their separate ways in 2012, and now we're moving on to 2016.
Okay, skipping ahead 4 more years since the divorce, or did they get divorced?
They did.
Okay, Splitsville in 2012.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So 2016, shit hits the fan. So one morning, this is crazy.
You say that every week, honey.
I mean it every week.
I know you do.
So one morning, Denise got into her car to go to work, and Brian had been hiding in the back seat of the car.
Nothing creepy about that.
So Denise got in, and Brian pops out of the back seat and pulls a gun on her and tells her to start driving.
So Brian is kidnapping or abducting, so you can't kidnap an adult, so abducting his ex-wife at this point.
Yeah. So he tells her to start driving. Denise starts driving and makes it to a Publix or maybe like a CVS parking lot, somewhere public, and talks Brian into letting her go. So pretty smart to drive to a public place.
Well, I sure as shit wouldn't have driven out into the Everglades if I was her, and I certainly wouldn't be driving to that Seminole Lake.
Lake Seminole? Yeah. Yeah. So,
fucking Murder Lake.
Yeah. So Brian gave up, and Denise drove him back to where he left his truck at a nearby park after Denise said that she would not report this to the authorities.
And then she immediately left him and went to the police station.
She did.
Okay. Thank fucking God. All right. Jesus. Oh my God.
Straight to the police station. So Denise is speaking to the investigators, and she states that Brian was upset about the divorce and how he was threatening to take his own life, and he was just really scaring Denise. And it turns out that Brian had more than just the gun in the car. He also had a tarp and a bottle of bleach.
Oh, fuck.
Which kind of sounds like a murder cleanup kit.
It sure do. Sound like he might have seen a thing or two and know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So while Denise is at the station, there is an FDLE agent there, you know, investigating her deceased first husband's death.
Does she know that this guy is, that the case has been reopened?
I don't think so.
Okay. only the share bearer does, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, she might know, but like, she went to the police station.
But then, she was fearing for her life, so she, you know, she was probably in a little bit of shock. She just had a gun pulled on her, and she was literally abducted by her ex-husband. Yeah. And he had a murder kit with him, so, yeah. Okay. Okay, let's, all right. Let's see where this fucking rabbit trail leads.
So this investigator is there, and he's like, hey, this is a great opportunity. I think I'm going to go speak with her about Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before they get to Mike, one of the detectives tells Denise, like, oh, by the way, Brian was super about to kill you and cover it up, just so you know. Because she didn't know about the bleach and the tarps. They found that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the lead detective goes in to speak with Denise, and he's just straight up says, we know that Brian killed Mike, and he was going to kill you too. Which they don't know that.
Wow, he's just taking a wild stab in the dark. Well, I mean, if he's capable of pulling a gun on her, and he did marry his best friend's wife, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he says that Brian has conned Denise to no end, and Denise gets all teary-eyed and says that this isn't the person she married, and this isn't the person that she knows and loves.
Oh, yeah, well, you changed him when you got him to kill your husband.
I'm not laughing because he's dead. I'm laughing because these people are so stupid.
Okay.
So another detective goes in and is like, hey, where do you think Mike's body is buried? Casual. Just like out of nowhere.
Yeah, they're just laying, you know, like they, it's a matter of fact, solved fact that she knows. She might as well just go ahead and tell him.
Yeah, and Denise is like, I don't think he's buried. I think he died on Lake Seminole, and we just never found his body. And she keeps trying to steer the conversation back to the fact that she was just abducted, which I mean, like...
She probably should.
Yeah.
Because she was.
But the detective keeps returning to Mike and his disappearance and his murder. Possible murder. And Denise just keeps being like, I don't want to talk about this. I've had a bad day. And then the investigator is like, hey, I'd rather get the story from you because we're going to have to arrest your new ex-husband, Brian, because, you know, on account of the abducting.
Yeah. And we're going to ask him about old Mikey Poo and how, and we're going to lie to him and tell him that you told us.
Yeah.
All the shit.
Yeah, and the investigators are like, I'm sure he's going to have a story to tell, so you may as well tell us your version of the story.
It's better. At this point, and I'd like to speak with my lawyer.
Lawyer.
Anytime the police, remember, they're not there to help you.
Even if you're the kidnappee, get a lawyer.
That's right. They are not there to help you, all right? They are not there. They are there to maybe solve a crime, but they're definitely there to check a box, okay? And you might be the box that gets checked.
Yep. So Brian is found and arrested and charged with the kidnapping of his wife. So I guess soon to be ex-wife, they weren't actually fully divorced yet.
Okay.
And he pled not guilty. But then, a year later, a whole year passes after this whole interaction, and he pleads no contest to the kidnapping.
Okay, so he takes a plea.
And this is pretty crazy. So Denise testifies at this trial that is happening a year after she was kidnapped, and she asked the judge to give Brian a life sentence for the abduction of her.
Okay, which he's not going to do because sentencing guidelines won't allow it.
Yeah, and Denise said that Brian will finish what he has started no matter what whenever he is released.
Okay.
And Brian was sentenced to 20 years for this abduction. Which is pretty wild.
That's pretty good, since some of the stories I've heard you tell where people don't go to jail for half that long for fucking actual murder. So, yeah.
So, like, Florida, we'll fuck you up.
Yeah. Try us. Then again, they do have a lot of fucking crazy crimes, so if they don't have stiff sentences, imagine.
I know.
Just imagine.
Anarchy down
there. It's fucking crazy. It's the wild fucking West.
On the East.
On the East.
I heard somebody whenever we were at Disney call Florida America's penis.
That was me.
That was you?
Yeah. Oh. It's America's penis.
I didn't think that was you.
It's just jutting out into the ocean.
Oh, that was funny. Okay.
So you never listen to me.
I do.
You hear me? You just don't listen to me. Are you kidding me?
What was the other thing you did?
Oh, God, there's it, that.
Oh! Okay, real quick. Quick side note. We have driven all night. We have driven from Charleston to Orlando. And Dustin looks over to me. I'm passenger princess. And he says, hey, honey.
How many miles do we have left when the gaslight comes on?
And all I heard
was, we're about ready to run the fuck out of gas.
Was, we're almost out of gas.
She has a very different style when it comes to the gas tank.
I fill up whenever it is halfway empty. I will go and I will fill her up.
I will coast into a fucking gas station.
So we got to this gas station having no idea where the fuck we are, and we had 11 miles left before we were completely out of gas at 9:30 p.m. in a city we do not know.
We were acting like we were in the middle of the fucking desert, all right?
We may as well have been.
All right. And we had cell phones. We had snacks. We had water.
But why not just get gas? Why put yourself in that situation in the first place?
We put 19.39 gallons in a 20-gallon tank.
Oh, I can't stand you. I couldn't believe it. I was so mad at you.
Oh, no, the look on your face wasn't worry. It was disdain. All
right. It was fury.
Like, this motherfucker gonna make me walk. I'm gonna beat him to death before we get to Disney. I pity the fool that runs out of gas with Scarlett in the car.
Oh, ain't that the truth? Oh, my God. Okay, I just jumped way far in these notes. Fuck, I don't know where I was.
Goes in and is hey, where's the body buried? And keeps
buried.
Going to Dennis. So Brian is arrested and they're at trial. Remember, he just got 20 years.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he got 20 years. And during this trial, nothing about Mike Williams was mentioned. So this was just on the sole kidnapping case of Denise.
Okay.
So this is completely bonkers. The day after Brian was sentenced to 20 years in prison, skeletal remains are found in a shallow grave. And these are the remains of Mike Williams.
Whoa, that's serendipity.
Yeah, and we don't really know exactly where they got the information on the whereabouts of the remains, but we can all kind of speculate that Brian probably gave that up.
Yeah, I'm doing 20 years. I'm willing to trade some of my time for the mastermind behind Mike's fucking murder.
Yeah, and turns out Mike's body was not in Lake Seminole after all. It was 50 miles away, back in Tallahassee.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which is where they all live. They were found off of a dead-end road by another swampy lake area. On October 18th, the team of search dogs and officers finally found Mike Williams' remains within piles of dirt with plywood sheets stacked on top of them.
Okay.
Yeah. An FDLE agent stated that 98% of his bones were recovered, all very well preserved, as was some of the clothing he had been wearing, such as winter gloves, booties, and his wedding ring. And that two DNA tests matched the remains to his mother, Cheryl's, sample. So these were the remains of Mike Williams.
And Cheryl was fucking right. Her son was not.
She was right.
In Seminole Lake.
And people thought she was batshit crazy. She was right. So Mama Cheryl finally gets the news that her son's remains had been found, and this whole time she had just kind of been holding out hope that he was maybe still alive.
Like, oh man, Cheryl got, yeah, no, I he had to have been like a prisoner or literally abandoned his life for that to be true at that point, so.
Yeah, and this just kind of closed the case on everything, and it's now 2017. So this is 17 years after Mike's disappearance.
You know, she's had to live with the not knowing for 17 years. So I'm sure, while it is extremely devastating, I'm sure it's also like this huge fucking weight.
Now you know.
And now she also is like, let's go find this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go find the dude or girl.
Or neither, neither, or both.
Correct.
So yeah, so Mike's remains had been in the shallow grave ever since that day, December of 2000. But his mom just could not believe it. She just kept saying, like, are you sure it's him? Are you sure? And detectives were like, yes, we ran the DNA. And these are definitely the remains of your son.
Ran him twice.
Yep. So, you'd think that this kidnapping sentence would be escalated to murder.
Yeah.
But that is not exactly what happened in...
Or they'd be starting a new trial for murder.
Here we go. 5 months after Mike Williams' remains had been located, Denise is brought into custody. And she was charged with the first-degree murder of her first husband, Mike Williams. And they actually arrested her on their daughter Ansley's 19th birthday.
God, that's the only good part about this is that Ansley is fucking grown at least at this point.
Yeah.
So she doesn't need to be raised anymore, but she sounds like she might be losing both parents.
Oh, yeah. That all parents sucks. Involved.
That sucks ass.
Yeah, so here's Denise, now convicted of murder, and she pled not guilty.
Oh, she's being charged with. She's not convicted yet, right?
Or charged with murder, yes. And it turns out that Denise was the only one who had been charged with Mike's murder. Brian had taken a deal.
Yeah, he's got immunity, doesn't he? He's already serving 20 years.
And he said, hey, did I kidnap my wife?
Absolutely, I did. Yes,
totally. Did I plan on killing her? Sure, I did. But I've got information on Mike Williams, and if you give me immunity, I will tell you everything you want to know.
Boom.
Yep. So almost 20 years after Mike's disappearance, Denise goes on trial and is facing a mandatory life sentence if found guilty. And there's all kinds of witnesses and character testimony, and Brian's first wife, Kathy, was asked if she thought that her husband was having an affair with Denise, to which she said yes.
Because she was.
Yeah, she said, I did suspect that they were fooling around, and her suspicion grew even more whenever he suggested that he and Kathy and Denise all have
a little menage
Lisa.
Trois. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this was very shortly before Mike went missing.
Oh, so Mike's still fucking, hey, you wanna, I think I can probably swing my best friend's wife, you know, if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. So after all of this, the final witness in Denise's trial was Brian Winchester. And does he have a story to tell?
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure the defense is going to try to paint him as, you know, he's a criminal, he'll do anything, but he didn't get any time off of his sentence. He's still doing the 20, I assume. He just ain't going to jail for murder.
Yeah. And the defense attorney was interviewed, and the guy was like, aren't you worried that everyone's going to hate your star witness? And he was like, yeah, we hate him. Everyone's going to hate him. We all hate Brian. So Brian's on the stand. He's been in prison for 2 years for the abduction of his wife, Denise. And now he's testifying against her in her first husband's murder. Brian goes on to say that he and Denise had been secret lovers for 3 years before Mike was murdered.
Is Ansley Michael's daughter?
I believe so.
Okay.
I can't be 100% certain, but I believe so.
Okay. I just noticed that they didn't test the DNA of the daughter. They tested the DNA of the mother.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. We'll have to look more into that. Brian said that the more they were together, the more that they wanted to be together, and that it just snowballed.
Then just get a fucking divorce. You did that too. You didn't kill your wife.
Well.
The first one.
We'll kind of get to that. So, a year before Mike was killed, the two of them had already started plotting his death. And it must be noted that he and Denise, and presumably Mike and Kathy, Brian's first wife, are all extremely religious. All four of them. Super religious.
Okay, what does that matter?
And Brian said that at one point, that whatever happens, it's up to God. And it won't actually be a murder, because it'll be God's will.
You're coveting thy neighbor's wife. That's one of the 10.
Yeah. The big 10.
The big 10.
Yeah. And that'll be an accident. You know. So God will intervene and whatever happens, happens. And it's not really murder. It's just an accident, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that is why I brought up the extreme religiosity of this.
Well, if people will believe absurdities, they will commit atrocities. I think that's Voltaire.
I like that. I don't know who that is, but I like that.
You'd like him.
Yeah. To which I say, just get a goddamn divorce. And I'm pretty sure that murder is worse than divorce.
Yeah.
But apparently, Denise was too proud to get a divorce because of her good Christian upbringing, and she did not want the stigma of divorce around her child. So she planned to murder her husband.
This is not the 1950s where getting a divorce is like, oh, you're shunned.
Yeah, and I guess being a widow gets you more sympathy than being a divorcee. And she also got $1.75 million.
From the life insurance?
Yep. And,
oh boy,
I forgot to put this in here, but Mike's boss, the guy from the real estate appraiser thing. Mm-hmm,
that they got along with famously, yeah.
Paid Denise Mike's salary for like 2 years after he disappeared. So she got $1.75 million plus $400,000 from Mike's boss.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Doesn't he feel like a real ass right now, I bet.
I know. He was really sweet. He was in a couple of the shows that I watched.
He's probably like, this stupid bitch.
I know.
I want my money back.
Yeah. So here we go. Brian is now going to tell us what happened on December 16th, 2000. Turns out that Mike had not gone hunting alone that morning. Brian had gone with him. So the two of them got into the boat, they push off of the banks, and Brian is thinking that he's going to push Mike overboard. And that his waders would fill up with water and he would sink to the bottom of the lake and drown.
Okay.
So Brian steered the boat to the deepest part of the lake. He coaxed Mike into standing up in the boat and he pushed him overboard. So now Mike is in the water and Brian is in the boat and Mike is kind of struggling and panicking and trying to get back into the boat. So Brian, Mike's best friend, starts to drive the boat away and realizes that Mike is taking off his jacket and kind of shimmying out of his waders.
Yeah, he's thinking on his feet. Survival instinct is kicking the fuck in.
This is bad. So Mike finally made his way to a tree stump and just kind of waited there for Brian to circle back and pick him up.
Yeah, so he can kick his ass.
This is whenever Brian says that Mike was panicking and that he was panicking and this is just not how we thought this was going to go. The murder of his best friend is not going as planned.
He's not shedding a tear on the stand?
Oh, he was. He was weeping.
Okay, well, at least there's that.
Yeah. So, Mike had started yelling for help. So, this is whenever Brian Winchester gets his shotgun, loads the ammunition, circles the boat around back to Mike, and the tree stump that he's holding onto, and as he's passing by, shoots his best friend, Mike Williams, in the head.
God damn. That's some cold shit.
Yeah. And he tells all this on the stand. And Miss Cheryl's there, Mike's mom. She's still here for the trial. She's very old. I don't know how old she is, but she's up there. Because it's been, what, 20 years? He was 30 then. He would have been 50. She's probably 75 at this point. She says that the only consolation in Brian's testimony is that her son probably died immediately and didn't feel anything.
Except for the horror that he had knowing that his best friend was trying to fucking kill him. Goosebumps.
I know. So after Brian shot Mike, he grabbed his lifeless body and pulled him back into the boat and started the boat back to the shore. He then pushed the boat back into the water, hoping that whoever found it or whoever went looking for Mike would think that he just drowned.
So there has to be blood in that boat. He shot somebody in the head.
There was a big storm that night. And he didn't shoot him in the boat. He shot him.
Yeah, but he drug the body back into the boat. So he's going to be bleeding. It's a fucking head wound.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he waited a minute. Because, I mean, you stop bleeding after you're dead. But there was a big storm that night, so that could have...
That seems so strange that they didn't find a single speck of fucking blood in that boat. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe he drug him outside of the boat, like steered the boat back and just had a grab of him while he was still in the water.
I can believe that too.
That's possible.
It'd be hard to get a body into the boat that's not helping you.
Yeah. Not tip it over.
And not you fall in yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe there was blood in the boat. I mean, this whole thing wasn't handled super well, so who knows? So Brian took Mike's body and stuffed it into a dog crate that he had in the back of his truck and drove back to Tallahassee and found an isolated area down a dirt road and buried his friend. And later that day, Brian's own father called him and said, "Hey, Mike is missing. And that's whenever he and his dad
leapt into action and searched all night.
Yep. And they went back to Lake Seminole to go look for him, fully knowing that he was not there. Brian stated that his father loved Mike, and they stayed out almost all night that first night looking for him.
And he knew the whole fucking time.
Yep.
God damn.
And Brian also testified that he is the one who had put the hat and the waders in the lake just to further confirm that Mike had drowned. So he planted the hat and the waders 4 months later, and then so they could get the life insurance payouts.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the next 16 years, Denise and Brian kept this horrific secret from everyone they knew and loved. And they let Mike's mother, Miss Cheryl, think that she was crazy, and everyone around her also thought she was crazy. But she was right all along.
Mother's fucking intuition.
I know.
God, they're fucking horrible people.
Yeah. Now, back on trial, Brian has just given this harrowing testimony, and we're about to find out if Denise goes down with the ship. Because Brian just said all of this, and he's the one who actually killed Mike, not Denise. But I think we all know who was behind this. But the defense is trying to peg it all on Brian, saying he was the only killer and that she had nothing to do with it, and that he was obsessed with her and he couldn't not be in her life, so he had to kill Mike, and that Denise had nothing to do with it.
Okay. She's innocent except for, you know, the whole affair thing.
Well, yeah. Murder's fine, but affair and divorce? No.
That's despicable.
Yep. So also in Brian's testimony, there was something about his time in prison whenever he was awaiting trial, where a fellow inmate offered to get rid of Denise and other witnesses in the case. And Brian put an end to that and told him not to ever say anything like that ever again. And this is what caused him to flip on Denise, because the whole reason he's in jail right now is for the kidnapping of Denise. And that's kind of what blew this whole thing up. So if he had not abducted her, I don't think any of this would have come to light.
Maybe not.
Body probably never would have been found.
Unless somebody builds a house or something fucking there.
Yeah, but it was swampy. I mean,
everything in Florida is swampy.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. And apparently, Brian testifies that Denise did not actually know what he was going to do, kill Mike that day, but that he had lied to her, told her what he had done, or started to tell her what he had done, and she just shut it down. She was like, I don't want to know anything. I'm sure it was an accident, and God will forgive us.
Oh, fuck you, bitch.
That's a crazy bitch.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear that you murdered my husband. La, la, la. Yeah. So the defense did a great job in this case. He asked Brian while he was on the stand, you're a murderer, right? And Brian said, yes, sir. And then he said, and you're a liar, right? And Brian said, yes, sir. Which is pretty wild. The defense, or Denise's defense, was really trying to paint.
Well, I mean, he is a murderer, and he is, in fact, a liar. But
yeah,
not all lies are the same.
Yeah.
Some lies are good lies.
That's true. So 8 hours into deliberation, the jury has reached a verdict about Denise. And Nick, Mike's brother, and Mama Cheryl are both in court to see what happens. And this is not a slam dunk case. There are lots of what ifs, and he said, and she said, and the stories, and
it's all on whether or not they trust what Brian is telling them. That's basically what it comes down to. If the jury thinks that he is credible and that this is how the shit went down, then that's it. I mean,
and did she know? Did she know that believe, that was the plan?
Do they believe Brian's side of the story rather than Denise's? Did Denise take the stand?
No.
She did not. Okay.
No. So there's a lot to consider, but 18 years after Mike Williams' death, Denise Williams was found guilty on all counts.
Fuck yeah.
Which means a mandatory life sentence, as well as 30 years for conspiracy to commit murder.
Bye!
Bye! So...
I think that she can
fuck all the way off. Yeah. And Mama Cheryl, Miss Cheryl, she read a victim impact statement. Oh, so sad. She said, quote, for the rest of my life, when I try to go to sleep, I see my son clinging to a stump in the freezing water. Please don't show her any mercy. She didn't show my son any mercy. She took him away from his daughter, his family, and his friends. End quote. Yeah.
So Ansley wasn't at the trial, the daughter?
No, and sadly, Ansley and Mama Cheryl, no relationship to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Oh.
I don't know.
Families are complicated.
They are. Yeah.
Damn. That sucks too.
Yeah. So she was sentenced to life. But 2 years later, a 3-judge appellate court, the ones who appeal, threw out the first-degree murder conviction, stating that the state had failed to prove that Denise had actively participated in the crime. So, the mandatory life sentence was actually thrown out.
So, she just got the 30 years then?
She still got the 30 years for conspiracy.
But the conspiracy is the planning.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Okay, so did the state can't retry her then, can they, for the murder?
No. One and done. That's it.
So she's got 30 years.
She got 30 years. Yep. Okay. Forgot to mention this earlier, but Brian and Denise allegedly, now I don't know if this is 100% true, but allegedly they had also planned to murder Kathy, Brian's first wife. But Brian just couldn't go through with it. He drew the line at shooting and murdering his best friend. That was fine, but he can't do that to his wife.
Then have Denise do it.
Yeah.
One hand washes the other.
Yep.
Then you're both in it.
Exactly. And this is a excerpt from Wikipedia. I honestly don't know what this says, so we're just going to go with it. Quote, after discreetly rekindling the relationship, the two began to consider killing Mike so they could marry, as Denise's family frowned on divorce for religious reasons. Denise suggested staging a boating accident on the Gulf of Mexico, where they could throw both Mike and Kathy Thomas overboard. But Brian Winchester did not want to kill his children's mother. After rejecting plans for a murder at Mike's office, meant to look like a robbery, Brian Winchester hit on the idea of an apparent hunting accident after he saved Mike from quicksand when the two were hunting in Arkansas. End quote.
Quicksand?
Well, apparently he had saved Mike from quicksand.
Which is not that quick.
Which is not that quick.
Okay. It is sand.
It is sand. Who is that? John Mulaney? Like, I thought quicksand would be a much bigger problem for me.
And crawling through logs. Yeah. Yeah. Haven't had to crawl through one log.
And pianos falling from the sky. Yeah. Oh, my God. So, they settled on the hunting accident.
Okay.
So, Denise has been serving her time at the Florida Women's Reception Center, located in Ocala, Marion County, Florida. And Brian is serving a 20-year prison sentence for the abduction of Denise at gunpoint in 2016. Apparently, he was paranoid that she'd go to the police and confess what really happened to Mike Williams, not knowing that just 2 years later, he'd be the one to crack. Brian is now imprisoned in the Wakulla Correctional Institution. So he kidnapped Denise because he was like, she's going to tell, so I'm just going to have to kill her.
God damn it. Fucking idiot.
They both are.
Yeah, they're stupid. All right. Do we have...
I got one more paragraph here. So Ansley, Mike's daughter, her father was murdered whenever she was like 2. And she had to live and grow up with the man who murdered him.
Lovely.
And her complicit mother. And never got to see anyone from Mike's side of the family, including her grandmother, Miss Cheryl. But Ansley, who is now 20, was rewarded all of the insurance money. And fortunately, it looks like the tragedy surrounding her family isn't slowing her down. She now attends Florida State University, and she also competes in pageants. She competed for Miss Florida USA, and she actually won Miss Tallahassee Teen USA in 2017, but she still has no communication with her grandmother to this day.
God, Ansley, reach out to your grandma.
I know.
Do you have any fun facts?
Very sad. I do.
Okay, thank God.
I have some Lake Seminole fun facts for you.
I don't know if these are going to be very fun.
I don't know if they are either. All right,
lay it on me.
Okay, so at least 80 people have died/drowned in Lake Seminole since its creation in 1957.
Fuck.
80 people since 1957.
What?
How many? Fill in the lake. That's too dangerous.
Hold on. When was it born?
1957.
That's 67 years.
And 80 people have died. At least one a year.
One a year. Damn.
That's not a good track record, Lake Seminole. Yeah. That's bad.
That's bad. Naughty Lake.
Quit killing people.
Shit.
Oh my God. Okay. So here are the fun fact, or
funner facts.
Just facts.
Just facts. Okay, we can't call them fun facts. Okay, just facts.
And this is directly from Wikipedia. Okay. Where the Flint River, the Chattahoochee River, and the Apalachicola River meet. Apalachicola meet creates the expansive stretch of water known as Lake Seminole. The lake is a spectacular 37,500 acres, and it borders Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. The name was chosen due to the fact that the Seminole Native Americans lived in the area thousands of years ago. Since this lake is man-made, it has been quite a unique history. At the bottom of the lake lies the remains of Fort Scott, a fort built in 1816 to defend the border from the Spanish. Use for the fort ceased in 1821 when Florida became a U.S. territory and was thus abandoned. The lake was filled in 1958 by the Army Corps of Engineers after the construction of the Jim Woodruff Dam. The lake itself is teeming with many varieties of fish, including crappie, striped bass, chain, pickerel, and bluegill. Various waterfowl can be seen diving in and out of the lake, being careful to avoid the alligators that can be seen floating around the lake. The area around the lake is a mix of pine and hardwoods, making this an excellent habitat for a variety of songbirds. The lake also hosts a large assortment of plants along the shallow shore. You can most often see the hydrilla with water lilies, cattails, and pond weeds. And that's it.
Sounds pretty picturesque.
It does. It sounds quite lovely.
Just dangerous as fuck, apparently.
Extremely dangerous. Don't go there. No one go there.
No, go there. Just,
don't go alone.
Just, well, don't
or
go
with
alone.
Your best friend.
Don't go with your best friend.
Or your wife.
And certainly not together.
Oh my God, honey, we did it.
Yeah.
Whew.
That was a tough one, honey.
I know. I'm so sorry. I've had these notes typed up for a while. I just haven't had the...
The good old best friend wife combo to for the fucking W there.
Yeah.
Well, don't you guys have some kind of Insta Twitter snaps or something like that?
We do have an Instagram.
Instagram, that's what you kids call it.
Oh, honey, stop it. It's at #MurderPod. Spell it all out. And if you like this, please rate, review, subscribe, give us 5 stars. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you leave a comment, they will read it on air.
Yeah. And we literally haven't had a new comment, so there's nothing to read.
No, there's not.
So please, just write us a little something. Doesn't have to be crazy or lengthy or long.
Just say hello.
Yeah, just say hey. We also have a Patreon.
The little hash brownies.
Our little hash browns.
I'm a hash brown.
You are a hash brown. So go look us up on there. Actually, we had somebody ask how to join our Patreon. The link is in our Instagram link tree. So if you follow us on Instagram, click on the little link tree and there's a link for Patreon. But I do believe it is Patreon/#murder.
I think that's all, honey.
I think that's it.
Just go eat some more pizza.
Oh my God. Oh, come see Alex and I at the Brew Lab on March 20th. We will be there for our 1 year anniversary.
Yay!
Throwing some true crime trivia at y'all. So come hang out. We'll bring our merch and we would love to see everyone.
All right.
All right. Thanks for hanging out. Love you. Bye. Bye.
All right. Don't kill your best friend and certainly don't plot with his wife. Love you guys.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Be fun and have safe.
Thank you for listening to #Murder. Episodes are written and edited by Alex Lewis and Scarlett Hibden. Our intro and outro music is written and played by Derek Branton. Our cover art is by the lovely Lauren Walker. And our name was created by the most wonderful, supportive, and super hot boyfriend, Dustin Branton. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas, you can reach us at #murderpod@gmail.com. That's hashtag murderpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell all of your friends about us. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Okay. Catalytic converter. Let's see.
But they had gotten divorced and... Or no.
You're going to have to speak up, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Who was actually at a Christmas... Or... God damn it. What's at the bottom of the lake, honey? Let him in. God damn it, Ollie.
Come on, buddy.
If you hear panting in the background, that is our terrified 85-pound dog.
Who will now not leave the room.
Will now not exit the room. Okay, Ollie. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Oh, God.
Bless America.
Okay.
Land that I love.
Okay.
Kidnapping his ex-wife.
That's yours. If you hadn't left it out... Who did worse?
Your big old butt's not falling in.
I have a very petite
behind,
okay? It's subtle.
Supple?
It's supple.
You're not going to be able to hear me. It's just you saying your behind is supple. I got you.
You think so? That's by the couch. It's Shelby Joe. Where is he going? Over here? Over there?
Nothing about milk. Milk. Okay, never mind. I'll just cut that part out.
Testing 1-2-P.
Testing 1-2-P. We're gonna have to unbunch them, babe. You murdered.
A duo murder? He's way more stubborn than she is. She's just a bigger asshole.
That's true. She made me carry her to her crate this morning.
Are you kidding me?
I like pulled at her a little bit and she was like, no.
No.
We're not doing this. And I was like, okay. And to literally lift her from a laying position.
I'm sure she was groaning her ass off.
She was. What's that meme I just posted? Oh, hold on. I just put it on the... It says, my dog sighs a lot for somebody who doesn't contribute to this house or know what a government is.
Yeah. Heavy breathing, heavy sighs, lots of moans.
Lots of groaning. She's like a cow.
She's like a cow. 65 brown and white cow.
And you see her little foot sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lily.